Amin El Hassan. He's excellent. He works for ESPN. He joins us now. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Man, you know, a whole lot. You know, we're all kind of watching and following the news from all over the country. And, you know, I heard what you said there on the lead-in, and you're right. We should hold institutions and people to higher standards than just, hey, man, I give a very toothless, you know, statement about, oh, racism is bad. You know, that someone in a PR department has to sit and craft, you know, a very, what should be a very obvious statement that, yes, racism is bad. And I'm still waiting to find the team that says racism isn't bad. Perhaps it's the New York Knicks, given their curious silence on this issue. But it's disappointing because at the end of the day, I think we can all agree this is a human rights issue. We don't typically use that term here to apply to things that happen in the United States, but it applies. This is a human rights issue. And if this happened, what was happening here, happened in any other country, if it happened in China, as it did in Hong Kong back in October, there were no shortage of people who were willing to get out there and be vocal and chastise and condemn the Chinese government, as they should have. Where are they now?
Yeah. It's been a lot of radio silence, or like you said, I know that, like, I saw the Wizards post and I was like, okay, this actually seems like it's a different tone than some of these other teams, and I don't want to give them too much credit again yet until you actually see some action, but it was at least heartening
Let me just hop in real quick, because you brought up the Wizards post. I think the Wizards post is very interesting, because the Wizards post is not a statement from the Washington Wizards organization. That was a statement saying, hey, this is what our players wanted to say. Monumental Sports and Entertainment, which is the company, the parent company of the Washington Wizards, had its own statement, and its own statement was pretty much in line with many of the other milquetoast, toothless statements that were made across the brand, and not just sports, but, you know, you saw, like, you know, brands like Nike and Reebok and all of them kind of do their version of this, right? So, but, you know, that statement, the one that you're talking about, was made by the Wizards players, which to me, people are giving the Washington Wizards organization a lot of credit, which would be the same as if Bradley Beal and John Wall and all the Washington Wizards players had texted me that statement and then I tweeted it. Should I get credit for that? Or was I just merely a messenger in that standpoint? So I want to make that distinction right there. Sorry to cut you off.
No, but it's an incredibly important distinction, and it was one that I wasn't even aware of. And I think that just shows you how easy it is to just pass off disinformation, like, and how easy it is to just, basically do some form of signaling that you don't actually believe in, and how hollow these things can be, and how there's just really no meaning without true action. And that's the thing that this is where I'm at with this at this point. When it comes to sports leagues, and when it comes to owners especially, what is going to happen in terms of fan bases, especially public pressure, in terms of holding owners accountable with what they lobby for, what they put their money into, and how they actually serve their communities? And that, hey, you know what? Being a sports owner, maybe after profiting so immensely off of primarily, especially in the NBA, the work for a black workforce, whether or not you're going to actually care about black issues, and whether or not communities are actually going to make sure that when they're paying attention of how they sink their dollars, whether it's into an entertainment product, that they're going to treat it the same way that they look at something in the grocery store when they say, okay, am I getting these coffee beans from a place where they're ethically sourced? What are my owners doing? That this extends beyond just the worst owners in sports, that you actually start to not have the bar be, well, is my owner the worst guy? Is my owner James Dolan? Is my owner an overt racist like Donald Sterling? Okay, well, he's not that, so then I'm just going to ignore everything else. Like, are we actually going to see fan pressure? Are we going to see players who have basically done just about as much as they can? Like, I was asking this question yesterday. What else do you want LeBron James to say? What else do you want him to do? Like, you want him to go on a stage at the ESPYs again? Like, that was 4 years ago. So what's the next step in this? Do you think that owners are feeling some pressure right now? Do you think that there is actually going to be some type of a movement where, the guys with the huge pocketbooks, the guys who are able to influence actual policy more than any regular citizen, are actually going to be felt compelled to do something.
Yeah, the cynic in me fears that when life goes back to normal and there's sports and, you know, 20 million people aren't unemployed, that people won't care, or they'll forget and they'll move on. But the optimist in me hopes that this is the precursor to a lot of change, a lot of changing in attitude and policies, and hopefully officials who are appointed and elected, and platforms under which people run on, and that in turn will, in the invisible hand, so to speak, influence owners. I'll give you a great example that's not as kind of heavy world issue as this, but the Chicago Bulls in the 90s were the toast of sports anywhere, right? Put them up against any sports team in any sport anywhere in the world. Chicago Bulls are right up there. And in that run, they alienated many of their players by being stingy, by just not treating them well. I know we all saw in The Last Dance how Scottie Pippen complained about his contract, and Michael Jordan complained about, you know, this, that, and the other, et cetera. And so when they blew it up, even though they had just won a title, their whole plan was in 2 years, in 2000, there's a huge free agent market, and we're going to go in there with all this cash, and we're just going to reload, and it'll be good as new. And what they didn't anticipate was that every player who was a free agent of any note in the NBA said, wait a second, they did this to the greatest player of all time and perhaps the greatest dynasty that we've seen since Russell's Celtics. What are they going to do to me? And no one signed. And Chicago became a crater in basketball. And save for a couple of years when Derrick Rose was MVP Derrick Rose, where they had a kind of uptick, it's been a crater pretty much since Michael Jordan. Now, the United Center is sold out, right? They got a waiting list and all that stuff. But I think we can all agree Jerry Reinsdorf hasn't been as successful as he was in the 90s. And that was a direct result of his action. He did this. His behavior has made it so that maybe fans didn't boycott, but players sure the hell did, even if they didn't say it out loud. And so I wonder, the problem right now is, like, one of the big, like you said, the big offenders is the Knicks. Like, if anyone boycotted the Knicks, would we even notice? it's like walking into a house that's been trashed and then throwing a Snickers wrapper on the floor. It's like, it's kind of already trashed. So, but the reality is, that's how we'll know. We'll know because people will just not want to do business with them. And I hope that we see more overt acts like we saw in Minnesota, where the University of Minnesota cut ties with Minnesota PD. I thought that was an incredibly noble act to do, because a lot of these institutions, sports teams, universities, etc., that's why their statements are toothless, because they're afraid to speak out against something that should be as universally accepted as police brutality is bad. They're afraid to speak out on that because they're afraid of reprisal, of what this means to their relationship with local law enforcement.
Yeah, they're afraid still of losing ad dollars, and they're afraid of losing sponsorship fan support.
I don't even think it's that. I think they're afraid that when they have an issue and you call the cops, maybe the cops don't come as quickly as they used to. I think that's what they're afraid of.
Well, I think the billionaires will be fine. You know, I think that they'll be all right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're right in terms of bringing this up, in terms of feeling optimistic and pessimistic, because you have moments, I think, where you are a little bit one of either, and that it's a lot of roller coaster riding, and I can't imagine what it's like being, especially in the United States right now, what it's like being black in the United States right now. But I will say that the moments of optimism come from thinking about stuff like, okay, well, you know, we are going to be at home for the next couple of months. We are still going to see less people. Maybe there are less distractions. Maybe we do start to focus on different things. Maybe online pressure campaigns, which have worked in the past in terms of creating some change with certain companies, that this actually has an effect on, yes, NBA owners and the like. The disappointing stuff is that, you know, you even see on a conference call with owners yesterday, and I know, again, when we're talking about among the worst owners in sports, Clay Bennett is among them, but he's talking about, you know, using Unity or trying to use this as an opportunistic way of saying that they should have a 30-team cash grab playoffs or play-in tournament, and it makes you feel like, okay, well, maybe this isn't even resonating to these guys. Maybe this isn't getting to these guys. And so owners are one thing. I still think that they're the most important because, again, they have the most amount of money, which allow they have this massive, massive ability to actually create change, and that while players do already seem to hold them accountable, whether it was the Knicks situation, whether it was the Clippers before them, that the league still has some responsibility here too, and that I wonder if we're going to start to see Adam Silver and the NBA use their power the way that they did in Charlotte in 2017, where they took away the All-Star game. Could you see a scenario where the NBA starts to use, its events and say, if you want these events, you are going to have to be a more socially responsible city, whether it's from politicians down, that the league actually starts to get a lot more political than it has been in the past? And by its already kind of high standard.
I think Commissioner Silver has tried to do that. He's tried to be that kind of guy who rewards municipalities in that way. My question is he going to be able to do that to his own owners? It's one thing to punish Charlotte as a city, right? And that's something that, you know, Michael Jordan, as owner of the Charlotte Hornets, can say, I understand. This isn't about us. It's about the laws that are happening in our local municipality. And Adam is trying his best to use our influence as a cabal, as 30 teams in a cartel to influence policy, right? It's another thing when it's like, okay, for instance, you know, again, let's go back to the Knicks. Madison Square Garden, you're not going to host a draft anymore because of the way you behave. That's a line that I think the league is wary of crossing, and I think even when you put it on the owners, even if they agree, hey, man, that's a jerk move, they're afraid to cross that line because what that might mean for them, right? It's the reason why Donald Sterling was allowed to exist as long as he did. You think none of those guys knew that he was an abhorrent human being? Of course they all knew, but the whole thing is like, wait a second, even if I don't agree with his worldviews, I don't want to set the precedent that my worldviews can be reason for me to lose an All-Star game or lose this or lose that, you know, or have basically repercussions happen. And that's the big tightrope that Adam Silver has to walk when he's trying to flex his muscle here.
So what do you think the next step for the league is then? Or what could it be?
I think, man, that's a great question. I don't know. I think supporting players as they speak out, you know, NBA and WNBA players who have all been kind of hit, we've seen them on the front lines of speaking out, supporting their initiatives. I think there's definitely, you know, I see the New Orleans Pelicans and Saints ownership group announced that they have a task force that they're creating and trying to kind of bridge the divide between the community and law enforcement. I think doing things like that helps. Is it enough? Probably not, but I'll be honest with you, the real change doesn't happen with sports teams. It happens, again, with people at ballots, at local elections. I think one of the big problems we have in the United States is people, when they think elections, they think, got it, every 4 years, going to go vote me a president. And that's not how change comes about. Not really. Change comes about when you are involved in your local politics, because in many, many areas, your chief of police is an elected official. Your district attorney is an elected official. So when you wonder why, oh, how do you have these cops that are doing this? It's because they have a chief of police who doesn't feel any pressure to change his department policy. And when you wonder why, when someone gets arrested, when these guys get arrested for doing it, and then they get off scot-free, well, it's because you have a district attorney who doesn't prioritize these things. So I think when people here start taking local elections a lot more seriously and understanding that's the stuff that impacts your day-to-day way more than who sits in the White House, then I think you'll start to see a lot more change.